بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن أمير المؤمنين أبي حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: إنما الأعمال بالنيات، وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى، فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله، ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. أمير المؤمنين أبو حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه narrates, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, all actions will be judged according to one's intentions, and everyone will attain what he intended. Whoever migrates intending the pleasure of Allah and his messenger, then his migration will be accepted by Allah and his messenger. And whoever migrates to attain any worldly gain or to marry a woman, then his migration will be for what he intended. This hadith, we learn the important lesson of having a correct intention, correct niyyah, in other words, ikhlas. And this word in the hadith, this word innama is used. Innama is, in Arabic language, it's used for hasar, to restrict something. So therefore, the translation, actions are judged only according to their intentions. Amongst those who made hijrah, was one particular sahabi, radiallahu anhu, wanted to marry a woman named Ummu Qais. But she refused to marry him unless he migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Al-Munawwarah. Therefore, he migrated in order to marry her. As his intention was not for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, he was rewarded accordingly and gained a hand in marriage. However, if he had made the intention solely for Allah Ta'ala, his reward would have been much greater. One important point to note here is that the Sahabi, his name is not mentioned. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, their habit was not to expose the people. Up to today, we don't even know the name of this Sahabi. So a person makes a mistake, then we shouldn't expose him if there's no need to expose that person. So this hadith teaches us this important lesson of ikhlas. And ikhlas means to free something. In other words, to free all the impurities from one's action and to make it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exclusively for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order for any action, any amal to be accepted, there are two things which are required. One is adherence to the sunnah. A person should have that correct knowledge how to carry out that action. And the other is ikhlas. Both are very, very important and both are necessary. If a person does an action without the correct knowledge, and maybe he has ikhlas also, but that action won't be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, a person performs salah at sunrise. Maybe he has ikhlas, but he won't be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And maybe another example, maybe a person fasts on the day of Eid. May have ikhlas, but he won't be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with ilm, ikhlas is also essential. A person can have ilm and carry out that amal correctly, but if it's done without ikhlas, as this hadith teaches us, then also that amal won't be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes greater amal are done. The famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a martyr, a knowledgeable person, and a person who was very generous, he gave a lot in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be summoned in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will ask them about his favors upon them, and they will reply that they gave their life, etc., in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pleasure of Allah. Then it will be said to them that you lie, you did this so that you can be called a brave person, a generous person, a knowledgeable person. So great amal are done, but if it's devoid of ikhlas, then also it is not accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yaqub alayhi salam's statement that the sign of a sincere person is that he hides his good deeds just as much as he would like to hide his sins. So this is the importance of ikhlas. The other thing is how to acquire this ikhlas. That is the main thing, how to acquire this ikhlas. When a person inculcates the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his concern is only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then from his heart he negates everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this way, ikhlas will be obtained. The other thing is, we famously hear, to develop this ikhlas at all points, any point of an action, before, during and after action, we should always check and renew our intention. Am I doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometimes even after an action is done, a person may have done it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but many years later, he spoils his action. The famous incident you may have heard, that a person he asked for that zamzam water to be brought from his third hajj or fifth hajj. That so much of qurbani, so much of mujahada, so much of effort behind that amal, great amal of hajj, the person spoils it in one statement. Sometimes maybe we're helping somebody, we bring him up, we help him, support him with great amount of ikhlas. Years later, that person comes up in life and he's doing great work, and we tell people that, you know what, I helped this person when he was down and out, I helped him. So this is against ikhlas. And then obviously the important thing of dua, everything happens only with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The opposite of ikhlas is riya, to do something for show. So this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us one very important dua. We should all try and learn. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an ushrika bika shay'a wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. So we should try and learn this dua. That, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from knowingly associating partners with you, and I seek your forgiveness from that which I do not know. So we should try and learn this dua. Make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the formulae that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to develop this ikhlas. And one important point to note is that no amal should be left, even if there's no ikhlas. Initially, maybe there's no ikhlas, but we shouldn't leave the amal. The mashayikh explained very beautifully that ikhlas is like the contents in that vessel or that container. The action is the container, but we need to put something inside, that is the ikhlas. So if there's no amal, then how the ikhlas is going to come? So no, at no point an amal should be left. Initially it may be riya, Hazrat Ali Imdadullah rahimahullah mentioned. Initially it may be riya, so then after that it becomes a habit. And then after that, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us tawfiq to gain this quality of ikhlas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to practice, inshallah.